The opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Here we go. We welcome you, of course, to 2 o'clock here to www.mybroadcasttv.com. This is the day the Lord has made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. God is good. Welcome to another Saturday. I'm calling in today. Glory be to God. And we want to continue on my SITU course. I want to do, this is week 77, lesson 12 on wealth, the 21st century weapon. And as I've been teaching over these past 11 weeks, 11 hours about the power of wealth versus riches versus cash versus money, and I've been emphasizing it over and over. It's really wealth in between your ears, it's in your brain. It's how you think when it comes to prosperity, the raising up of your assets, and putting yourself in a position where you have that flow which you need to meet every single personal need, to meet the need of your family around you, and bring transformation to your community. There's a reason for this thing called wealth. There's a reason for this thing called riches and money. There's a reason for it. Now, God is not afraid of money, okay? Even though we in America, sometimes in the religious church, we think that more broke you are, the more humble you are, or the less you have, it seems to make you seem more pious. Come to find out, really, when you're around people who don't have the resources, they can't move things around. They cannot do the things that's needed to bring creative changes to the community. Whoever has the goal calls the shot. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that money answers all things. And sometimes if you give an answer, it might be a wrong answer. So money does answer all things, but there's some things that money will give an answer to, but it's not the right answer. All right. So there are things that money brings to the table that sometimes all the scripture quoting and Bible carrying doesn't have at the moment that it needs. Now the Bible, the Word of God, the name of Jesus, all the spirits that we scream and shout about, that's the power source that moves things around the spirit world. What you want is the manifestation of the physical, of the spiritual, so you can physically do some things to bring forth policy changes, to feed your family, put some child in college. All right, and I call this lesson the 21st century weapon, which is wealth. We live in a 21st century, and you're listening to www.mybroadcast.com. DDB.com. I'm not on live yet, okay? I'm just on my radio station. And I'm continuing to show saved folks, church folks, Christian folks, religious folks, that at the end of the day, if you live in America, if you live in the, I think, one of the greatest democracies in the world, America, you have to understand the power of a capitalistic society. That means if you're going to move anything, you got to find where the wealth is, where the money is, and know how to use it for your advantage. But here is the dilemma. You can think that all your trust is in your money, and that's when money becomes your God. But the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, or really the root translation. That the love of mammon is the root of all evil, because mammon is like a spirit, it's like a demon. It's like your whole obsession is trying to get money to be like the Joneses, trying to get money to just to take care of yourself, trying to make money. And at the end of the day, God said, what good is it to have the whole world and lose your own soul? So you don't want it all just to be about money. I talked to a young sister friend of mine. She said, everything is not about money. It has to be about what's in your heart to do. And sometimes there are things greater than money, which is the ability and space to enjoy what you do, getting paid for your hobby, you know, being inside of a zone that makes you feel good at the end of the day. And so I met miserable rich people, and I met miserable poor people, all right? And they're both miserable. Nothing's wrong with money. Money is a tool. It's neutral. It only brings out what's already in the heart. And part of the problem that was going on in Jesus' day during this first century, especially during the time when Christ was on the planet Earth, is a major problem inside of the temple. And when I point these gifted things out to people, sometimes we tend not to look at what I'm teaching and what I'm showing, because it shows you that Christ never has a problem with money, cash, prosperity. Only folks on the media or the TV are poor people always fussing and complaining about rich people. And I've met both. I met rich people, I met poor people, and I realized they all got problems almost the same. Different categories, different ways, but it depends on how you look at something. If you worth $1 million, but just spending habits are $1 million, you just as broke as someone that's worth, you know, $1,000, but their spending habits are only $20. So it also depends on what do you spend, what do you keep, what do you budget, what makes you feel like you're somebody. I bet people who are worth a lot of money, but they don't give much. All right, they make six figures, they make a quarter of $1 million a year, and then they sit around and give the church $1,000 and then complain about a tax receipt in January. You know, he works for a quarter of $1 million and they gave $1,000 to church, and they're like, you know, counting every single nickel and dime. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you meet someone else who makes $50,000 and they got a great budget plan, they don't live according to their full check, and they're able to give $20,000 and $30,000 a year away in charitable goods. And so you try to figure out, how does this guy make $50,000 and give more to the mission than the guy that makes $250,000, you know, and only gave $1,000? And that's exactly some of the stuff that Jesus Christ was pointing out in the temple, was that some of the billionaires, the Bezos and the Oprahs and the Koch brothers, who got all these billions, right? And they go and buy a truck and give it to someone. They go and, you know, buy a house and give it to somebody. But they're worth so much more. And Jesus actually said, "What good is that? Because you gave that money to the temple. Problem was, you had someone poor right next to you and didn't even help them." All right, I'm gonna show that. I want to emphasize that because we're coming to the close of this teaching on the 21st century weapon of wealth. Because I really believe this is the problem with most of us in our form of Christianity when it comes to the United States of America, because we're real deep spiritually. You know, we're real deep spiritually. We're real deep talking about the Lord and casting out demons and devils. And I'll be asking myself this question. Like, you guys went to church on Sunday morning, whenever that is, go to church, and you went and cast out demons, and we had a Holy Ghost time in the church, and you shouted and danced around the building, and you go back to your community, you had garbage in front of the house, you know, everybody in the neighborhood rent from everybody, you know, your next-door neighbor can't feed her kids, you know, none of your kids went to college because they can't afford the tuition, you know, everybody living as employees at a fast food restaurant, and we're living from paycheck to paycheck. I'm not talking about in transition, but a whole lifetime long of 40 years. What's wrong with this picture? And what happened to these folks? Most of these pile up in the church service, you know, because we have this mentality that nothing ever going to get better until Christ returns, or finally when Christ comes back and sets up his 1,000-year reign of the millennium, and all of a sudden everything will be all right. But I come to find out it is your vision in your sight that will determine the level of the wealth that you produce in your community. Now, I cannot cover 12 lessons in one lesson. Okay, or 11 lessons in one lesson. This is the 12th lesson, the 77th week, being level, of course, on wealth, the 21st century weapon. I call it a weapon because wealth in America today is a major weapon. And you got to know how to wield and use this wealth wisely to shift the culture, to change your community, to also empower you and your family. At the end of the day, if you don't take care of you and your family, you're worse than an infidel. You know, what good is you saving the world, saving souls, and your whole family is destroyed, distressed? You know, nothing's worse than to stand before the Lord and tell me how many souls you saved, how many folks you led to the Lord. And your family hates you. You know, you didn't take care of your kids. You didn't visit your son and your daughter. You didn't help out with the raising of your grandkids. You did all that and didn't take of your didn't take care of your immediate circle. And so what you have is what I call as out of sync, out of order. It's not properly put together properly. And you got to keep your priorities in order. You have to understand that God wants you to do things in a proper manner. Now, I've been talking to you with the ABCs of life. The ABCs, of course, is this. Is number one, you want to make sure that you are keeping God first in your life. Number two, you want to pay them tithes to your local church and fellowship that's training and equipping you. Number three, you want to give out offerings, which means offering giving starts at the 11%. And so you want to find organizations and people that doing ministry-oriented things or charitable groups and give up that 10%. The third level of 10%, number four, is to pay yourself. Take out 10% of your income and put that way into a long-term interest-bearing account that you can't touch for 25, 30 years, if not 40 years. And then try to reduce your lifestyle down below 70% of your check, which is after the net, not the gross, because the net is when they take out taxes. Uncle Sam takes out the stuff, FICA, and all the stuff you got taken out, and then you have to reduce your lifestyle because you don't want to live to the top of your check. You want to reduce it all the way down and put away and invest and put away stuff as long as possible. Now, what you're covering here is the spiritual harvest and the physical harvest, okay? And I'm going to show you some things. Hopefully, I think it's what I want to find is probably in the book of, I might want to go back to Luke, the 19th chapter. And I want to overemphasize something I said before, but I want to emphasize it stronger because I try to cover things in the script that I feel that's most important to us in today's society. And how does that impact today's culture? And how does that impact today's people? Okay. And when I point these things out, it's so important to see this because we realize that a lot of people love money so much, they don't give it away. They don't help people. They don't help those that need a hand up, they need a hand out. And I come to find out when you are concerned for others, and even though you have your own situations, but you see, you look over someone else's backyard, you say, you know what, I can help you. I can deal with mine a little bit longer, but I see that you right now need immediate help. Let me stop what I'm doing to help you. You start looking over someone else's backyard and helping them. That's a principle called washing the feet of the disciples, all right, and showing others that you're concerned about them. It doesn't mean God doesn't want you to go around and carry all your stuff and live like a broke miser. That's another thing he teaches. He told the rich young ruler, sell all he had and give all away. Read the scripture. He said, sell what you have and give to the poor. He said, give it all. Give a portion. You own 20 buildings, sell 10 of them. Take the liquid assets and take the 10 buildings you sold and give it to the poor ministry and let the ministry distribute it amongst the church and find out who needs a hand up. Help out James Evans. Help out Florida Evans. Help out J.J. and Walona. Help them out because they're the working poor. They're trying to just get a break. They're not sitting around and making the excuse about, you know, the white man is holding stuff back from me. I was raised in a poor house, and the white man took us from Africa. We can't get on top, you know. They're holding me back. They're holding me down. I'm not working no job for the white man. See, that means a lot of us are broken our head because we make any excuse to stay on Section 8, you know, versus something that's temporarily, we turn Section 8 into Lifetime 9. So we want to make sure that what we get are the handouts we need just to get a step up to go forward in the call of God is in your life. So when you get to Luke, I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 21. I'm going to point some things out to you about the power of wealth and how you got to keep it in proper balance and how that you might accumulate these world goods. But really, when you get the accumulation of world goods, the purpose of it is to be a distribution center so other folks are taken care of. Now, let me point some things out, a balance to this thing about prosperity and a balance to this thing about increase. Okay, I'm going to give a common sense approach as I walk through Luke, the 21st chapter. And, of course, I'm not on Mike Live right now. I'm just on the phone, okay? I'll probably do Mike Live a little bit later, but it's just the phone, right? You're listening to www.mikebroadcast, DGV.com, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And so let's pray. Look, I'll be thanking that you're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Father of all glory that you give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that my eyes are enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling and the glorious riches that are inside the saints and that exceeding greatness of your power to us word. Because Michael may definitely believe according to the work of your mighty power, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead, far above all principalities and all powers and all mights and all dominions, not only in this world, but the world which is to come, which is your body that filleth all in all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you go to Luke chapter 21, I want to read something. I want to back up, point some out, and then jump back to 21. This is called learning how to exegete a text. Don't just jump in the middle of a scripture and pull it out of its contextual setting. You want to read what comes before it, what comes after it, and what are you actually looking at. This will give you a better insight into how to preach the gospel and get a level of understanding that is apropos to your audience, all right? And people just say things, and I always ask questions when preachers are teaching and preaching, who is Jesus talking to? What was going on at the time? What was going on at the time when he was talking? Who is this audience? Who's in front of him? What is the concept that Christ is trying to communicate? What is going on in the arena at that time? You know, does what Jesus Christ what Jesus is saying right now, does that apply directly to me right now, or does it apply to me indirectly? Because everything about it can apply to you indirectly. And there's some things in the biblical script that apply directly to the crowd he's speaking to in front of him that has nothing to do with you today. All right, that's the power of what I call the power of understanding how things unfold and how things are communicated, okay? Now, when you get to Luke chapter 21, I want you to go there, and I have the Bible Zine, Divine Health, edited by Dr. Don and Mary Goldberg, the Complete New Testament, NKJV version, the New King James Version. And if you go to Luke chapter 21, and we're dealing with wealth and also include money, I'm dealing with prosperity. I'm showing you that we have no problem with money or wealth. It depends on how money or wealth has a problem with you, okay? In Luke 21, it says, and Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And then he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. All right, now, this chapter 21, verse 1, it sounds like a real innocent portion of scripture, but that first verse bothers me. Right, let me tell you why it bothers me. Because if the woman is that poor, she got 2 mites. 2 mites is less than a penny. So when you put 2 mites together, it might equal up to a penny. So this woman didn't have any money, but she's in the same temple with someone with the money level of a Jeff Bezos. How is it possible that this woman that got 2 mites is sitting next or in the vicinity of someone that got billions, and the guy with the billions don't think it wise enough to say, how dare you remain poor? Let me give you some money to help you. But the focus is on who's putting more money in the treasury, because the treasury gives to the temple worship. The treasury is where they take out to give out loans. The treasury is where they give into to continue to build that whole little city, that whole little city called the Temple Mount, which is like the size of the Willowbrook Mall or the Westfield Mall in New Jersey. And the rich were very proud about the money they gave to the building of the Temple Mount, or the temple that sits on top of the mountain, or the Herod Temple. And they were so braggadocious and so excited that they gave $1 million. They gave $20,000, while the woman there with 2 mites sitting next to them, they didn't care about. They were doing like some of us do. I got mine. You better get yours. I got mine. You better get yours. I don't care about you. I'm only concerned about myself. And that was the spirit of many of the rich in that day. So these Jews, in this particular story, we're not dealing with a lack of funds or lack of money, which may be a different problem with Black African Americans in Camden or Patterson. But these Jews had money. The problem was they didn't know why they had it. And it was rejecting Christ, and it was putting the money in a treasury where Jesus is saying in 40 years, this stuff won't even be here. All the stuff you put your money on won't even be here, the stuff you spend money on. Remind me of some people who got money in their pocket but broke in their head. Every time they turn around, they're buying a new ship, a new car, a new van, all these goods that create liabilities and don't create assets. So let's say, why would you need five cars? There's only one of you. Well, that's just my habit. I just got to buy cars. Got a problem with that. But you know, four of the families, they can't eat and sleep. They have a place to live. They need an apartment. They need clothes. They need help. You can't tell me that you can't just buy two cars right now and sell the other three and take a liquid assets and give it to the poor, because you don't think like that, because it's just for you. This is my money. I got it. They better get their own. See, that's the problem. You broke in your head. You don't understand that wealth is used to put you in a predicament to own assets that set your butt up so you can be a blessing to so many people. I met some people in my circle who are very wealthy because their head and their heart is so trying to help you. You know what I'm saying? It's not always about the count of the money in the pocket. It's the heart and the mind of individuals that look to help you, that look to bless others. I love to meet wealthy people this season. They may not have it as far as the numbers and the bank, but you can tell them their heart. If they had a million, they would give it in a minute. They would give it, you know. But so when you get to Luke chapter 21, and Jesus is saying he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts or their money into the treasury, he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. All right? Now, when you read that, that sounds real innocent, right? But here's the problem, all right? You have to understand the love of the temple and how the Jewish leaders of that time that ran the temple, those that was in charge of the temple, and they had buku money, you know. And here Jesus is in the temple teaching, and it's time for the offering. And the Dagon rich folks are writing out checks for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, and they would announce it, you know, Rabbi Joseph in the house. I'm giving out $35,000 now. We're going to buy a new roof for the building. Elder, what's name in the house? I'm bringing up my $26,000 or $36,000. I'm about to build a new roadway here. We're going to open up a new store over here. And they're all bragging about all their business deals and the money they're bringing to the treasury. They continue to build her temple, because this is the place where the Messiah will return. We'll be free from the Romans, and we're building this little city. And then there's this poor woman right there who don't even have 2 cents to rub together, and all of a sudden you don't care about this poor woman. All you care about is what you're giving to show off to your neighbor how much money you have. The love of money is the root, R-O-O-T, of all evil. So because you love money so much, you're trying to achieve it, you don't care who you hurt to get it, you don't care about helping others, because all you ask is what you're trying to do, which means that you got a serious issue when it comes to evil. You will love money and don't care if others are not being taken care of. And that's the problem I have with Luke 21, just the first two verses. Now, to prove to you that the location determines the allocation, because when you back up to chapter 20, it says in verse 1, now it happened on one of the days he taught the people in the temple. So this story in Luke 20 and Luke 21, he is inside the temple preaching. So I always tell you that your location, hold on. Your location determines your allocation, excuse me, and is allowed to let you know where your allocation comes from, because you find your location. So sometimes in Christ's teaching, he's outside by the waterside, or sometimes he's teaching inside the temple. And where his feet is, so is his mouth. So when sometimes in Christ is teaching, I ask myself a question, where is he sitting at? Where is he standing at? Because everything that Christ does is a communication piece. So if he's talking to Peter, he's communicating a message. If he's talking to John, he's communicating a message. If you hold a conversation with Judas, where he's sitting at, what he's doing, Christ is always in teaching mode. He's in training mode. He's in equipping mode. So my thing is, Why is Jesus Christ about to say this? Because, number one, it's Saturday. Number two, he's inside the temple. And number three, he's in front of the very people who are going to plan his crucifixion. So he's doing this to expose their wickedness. He's doing this to train his disciples. He's also doing this to show love to the woman who got the two mites. And I'm a firm believer, and I want to give some personal insight on this, that this woman saw Christ differently than most folk. Because I really believe that she gave those two mites because she saw Christ in the temple. Because Christ really what makes the temple the real temple. It's not the physical brick and mortar. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The temple represents the outside exterior, but the real thing is the heart of the matter. So when she saw Jesus in the temple, she got up and bought her two mites and laid it in the treasury. Because she says the spirit of Christ is in the building. So when I give these two mites, it looked like I gave it all. And by me giving it all, I expect a return. I expect, because when I give to the poor, I expect it to return. And you read the Old Testament scriptures, you read some of the scriptures in Psalms, you read scriptures in Proverbs, you read scriptures in Ecclesiastes. When you put your seed out there and you bless the less fortunate and you really try to help the working poor, not the lazy poor, but the working poor who just need a hand up, they just need a break, they just need someone to reach out to, hey, I can help you. Something happens to your seed. Your seed takes on the germination process. And I think this woman with the two mites was smart enough to realize Jesus is in the house. Let me take these two mites and drop them in the treasury while Jesus is looking on. And look what Jesus says about this woman. Luke 21 says he looked up and saw the rich putting their money into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. She's not just poor, she's a poor widow. So she experienced death. She got less than two mites. So he said, truly I say to you, who is you? Who is the Jew he talking? He's talking to those rich Jews in the temple. He says, for this poor widow has put in more than all. For all those out of their abundance have put offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all her livelihood that she has done. Now we read this scripture, right? Watch this. 2:30. I'm going to come back. Let's take a commercial break, engineer. Let's take a commercial break. We'll get back to you, okay? www.mybroadcastdv.com. And we come back. We'll take off from here. Let's take a commercial break.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness, a premier sponsor of the BlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue, featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored stories. stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit thebluemagazine.com. That's www.thebluemagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED identifier, Body Beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about Body Beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are Blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DDVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com. And now, back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
All right, we're back to www.mybroadcastdv.com. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm rejoicing and glad in it. We're doing SITU BA level on Wealth, the 21st Century Weapon. This, of course, is week 77, lesson 12. And I'm in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter. And what I'm showing you is how you have to balance the whole message of money and prosperity and the power of giving and sowing. And I'm showing you here that Jesus Christ has a problem with the rich Jews because they're so focused on giving money, but giving it to the wrong place, priorities out of order, and was not concerned about their brother or their sister who are broke, busted, and disgusted. Here you are, you got a broke widow who got less than two mites, maybe not a penny, but you're so busy braggadocious about you just gave $100,000 to the Jewish treasury. And from the Jewish treasury, it's like giving to a place where this Jewish treasury helps take care of the temple, because this whole temple thing is not just a place where folks sit down and have worship service. The Jewish treasury also include a whole little city inside of a city. They had jails, they had stores, they had a whole lot of stuff in this Jewish temple. I wish we get this idea of the Jewish temple. It's like this 10-foot-sized building. This was a massive little city inside of a city. The money that was used in the treasury was given out for loans. And some of the loan repayment, the money on the loan, the interest was like 30, 40%. It's like legal loan sharking. You know, and even when you take money out the treasury, the loan is used, you can buy the sacrifice to bring your things before the Lord. God, and Jesus called that a bunch of debt of fees. It's all about, I got a sacrifice, $9.95, got a sacrifice, $9.95, your sacrifice no good. We have a sale, $9.95. Now we have $1. Well, you can loan, eh? Yeah, we'll sell you a sacrifice, but you have to pay it back. And the payback is 30% on top of the loan. That came out, that whole banking system of the treasury of the temple. And so let's get out this ideal. That's why I'm telling you that cultural setting and understanding Jewish behavior and Jewish culture in the first century at the time that Jesus shows up give you a better understanding about the biblical scriptures, okay? So we've been in Luke chapter 21, and I'm going to teach this again. I might live when the time is right. I'm going to go live on this. But it says, I truly say to you that this poor widow has put in more than you all. For all these out of the abundance have put in office for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. And then the next verse says, then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one of the stones shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so they asked him, these are his disciples, teacher, when will these things be and what sign will when these things are about to take place? And notice how the book of Luke doesn't mention the term the sign of your coming. Luke just said, when will these things take place, which means Luke's perspective is, this ain't got nothing to do with a rapture or coming. The whole question is centered around, when is this temple going to collapse? I'm putting my money in the treasury. I'm bringing thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And you're about to tell me the place I'm putting all my money going to collapse. That's right. It's like giving money into the banking industry and getting stocks and bonds to the banking industry and knowing it's going to collapse in 2008. You know, if I knew that, I would have took all my money out the bank. I would take it all out the investment. But I know it's going to collapse. There's a point being made here. The point is you are putting too much emphasis on your physical stuff. You're putting too much emphasis on your money, your job, your bank account. That's yours. You love it so much, you put it in head. You put it in front of kingdom priorities. And priority is, yes, I got to take care of my family, but I can't forget about my neighbor. I got to wash the feet of my neighbor. I got to strip myself of my glory, wrap around my waist, and wash the feet of Peter. I got to help out those who are in need. I can't just be about me. Yeah, I got four kids. I got a family, but next door to Jones don't have no breakfast, don't have no food. The lady down the street, she's got to get back and forth to work. She got five different kids. But five different daddies, and all daddies locked up. And she by herself with all these crying kids. Maybe I can go and buy her a bus card. Maybe I need to give one of my cars. Oh, I'm sorry, she don't have a license because you don't have time to go to leave those kids and go get trained to get license. So maybe I can go over there and babysit her kids while she go get the license. See, so when you start looking at this thing, it puts you in action. Love is a commitment to care. And when you care, it's action. I don't look at a lot of folks talk to see. I look at folks who show up. I look at folks who go out their way to help you. I look at folks who stop by to hug you and say, we're here to help you. We're here to help you with your kid. When I start saying folks extend a hand of help, that is what love really is. Folks can talk that mess all they want. Love is an action. It's a verb. And so these rich Jews thought there was something. Yeah, I just gave $100,000 to the treasury, you know, because, you know, one day the Messiah will come and rescue us from Rome. How much you giving, Jim? Shut up. I can outdo you. I gave $110,000. How much you giving, Bob? Hey, shut up. I'll outdo all y'all. I give $200,000. Every time they announce it, everybody just go to clapping. Oh, my God. You gave $100,000. Oh, my God. You gave $120,000. Oh, my God. It's like there's a contest in giving. But what they're giving is out of their excess. So you gave $100,000, but you worth a million. You ain't did nothing. All right, so you gave $30,000, but you worth $3 million. You ain't did nothing. You give it out of excess. Excess. That means that it's not that big a deal for you because it's like money you can blow your nose with. You know? It's almost like that rich person that was putting... was making a doghouse, bought a $100,000 doghouse for his dog because it's like you have money to burn. But if you walked over a town to your left, you'll find people, you know, living off of dirt, living off of less. You couldn't find a better way to use that $100,000 except for your doghouse. See, financial things out of order. Financial things out of order. And so what you want to do, you want to have your spiritual and your physical priorities in order. You don't want to get caught up in, yo, McDuffie, you know, I'm quite successful. I said, what makes you successful, brother? look at my backyard. I got 10 cars. I own a ship. Yo, Rev, I got houses in Florida. I got houses in Short Hill. I got houses in New York. I got so much money, man. I got it going on, man. My family's taking care. We travel to Africa every year, right? And then I'd be saying to myself, but you live next door to someone that's suffering. You didn't find it in your heart to help them? Nah, man, this is for me and my own. I'm taking care of my family. That's it. But your family's taking care of them. Their bills are being met. You mean to tell me you want me to sell my car and use the proceeds to give the ministry? Oh, no, I'm not doing that. They need to pray that's God to bless them like he blessed me. See, the mindset is off. That means that this person has fallen in the love of money, a fall. All over money so much, they forgot the real mission of life is to bless other people. That means true love means you're sacrifice yourself to help somebody else. That is what love does. Love is a commitment to care. And so what Jesus is doing in Luke chapter 21, he's not only training and equipping his disciples, he's also calling out the Jewish leaders that ran the temple and was giving money for all the wrong reasons. He's not telling the Jews these are some rich Jews that run the temple. These folks have money. This ain't the same like a black African-American in Patterson. These are rich Jews that's running the temple. So they have money. They got. So I don't need three easy lessons on how to get prosperity. I don't need a lesson in wealth creation. They're already doing it. They got property. They got a lot of money. The problem is their spiritual priorities are out of order. I want to realign you and let you know why you have the money you have so that the ladies in the temple with the two mites is no longer lonely. She's a widow. Her husband died. She got two mites. How you got two mites? How do you have two mites when Jeff Bezos is sitting right next to you? Jeff Bezos is worth close to $100 billion, and you got less than a penny. You mean to tell me you didn't think about maybe you can give this lady $20? You don't think so? You don't think you can do what Abel did? Abel got the sacrifice with the blood in it, and all Cain had to do is say, listen, Abel, I need to make an exchange price for you. Can I get some of your land so I can get some blood to cover my sins because God has some respect for mine? You mean to tell me the guy with the money didn't think twice and say, let me help this lady out? You a widow? You lost your husband? Oh, my God. This is so sad. Now I know I'm a millionaire, and my spending habits are up to $500,000. But you know what I'm going to do, sister? I'm going to set up an account to give you a full-time salary. Can I hire you to work for me? I know you're a widow. Let me try to help you out here a little bit. Let me give you $100,000. Let me not give money to the treasury. Let me give some money to help you get on your feet. You know, let me take your business, or let me pay the tithes. We pay the temple tax. Let me take some money and help you out. See, that's what wealth's supposed to do. And so they was putting the money in the temple for the building, for the window, the little building fund, give it to this, give it to that. That's why I never really had a building fund after a while, because we started having a building fund. People in my church were suffering. They got laid off. They lost their jobs. And I thought about this. If you build a building and buy a building, but though you homeless, your kids can't eat, what good is that to me? Strong. And I lost a lot because I helped people out who never paid our church back. And the mother of the church would tell you this. Loan gave money, and folk would talk about how bad stuff was back then. Yeah, we was paying your rent and paying your mortgage and giving you loans and stuff you never paid back and gave out stuff. We got the records to prove it. But I realized that when you give, it shall be given again unto you. I don't have to show you records. I'm showing you that there's a power in giving, which was not of the top prop. Party of the rich and powerful. When God starts to give you wealth and give you money and give you cash, second on your bucket list is, all right, I'm being taken care of. How can I go outside my media circle and help out a ministry? How can I help a Pastor McDuffie? How can I help out an orphanage? How can I build a community center to help out my people? This is what you have to start thinking about. Stop giving money to the physical temple at the expense of killing others. That's the problem I have with the capitalistic American society, or even with the Western civilization church services, which is so it's in-house. Everything is in-house just for my members, just for my people, just for my membership. You know, I got a problem with that. You know, I look at some of the income levels of some of the NBA stars and some of the Hollywood stars, or some people who make music, and some of the monies I've seen for some of these actors and actresses. And I looked at some of the income levels, and some of them, one of the guys, black guy, very successful, he worth $400 million, you know? And it's just him and his daughter, $400 million, right? And he gets up and talks about he's going to open up a community center, right? And so he raises money to open up a community center. So he's trying to give me this money. He raised it from other folks' money. I'd be like, I want to raise, man. I say, listen, man, you want $400 million. You mean to tell me you don't have a million of your own to give to this project? Nope, I'm not giving mine. See? Greed. You know, one of the things I love about Bill Cosby, and y'all can talk about it all you want, I would tend to focus on the negative. Mr. Cosby, the gift that God used, it gave an $80 million grant or $80 million gift to Spelman College. $80 million. And when this stuff hit the fan about his past and what him and these ladies did back in the day, he was much more younger and went back to his past 40 years and brought stuff to the future. Like, we don't grow in life and get delivered. I'm sorry, I'm believing going back to people's past and pull stuff out when they grown and got delivered from it. Go back to someone's past and go pull it out because you're trying to sue for the greed of money. You know? So when Spelman removed his name over everything, I was asking, well, did Spelman get back that $80 million? Did Spelman give the $80 million back? You know, that guy that just gave that $400 million grant to that college, Brother Robert Smith, that was a real gift. Even though he's a billionaire, I think he's worth $4 or $5 billion. He had more money than Oprah. But I didn't see Oprah do this, the gift of the wipe out $400 million. I'm not saying everybody got to do the same thing, but the emphasis is, God looks at the heart, and do you give sometimes to the point where it's sacrificial? It's almost like, yeah, I can live better like this, but if I live better, but my next door neighbor is suffering, I can't buy that extra car. I can't buy that fifth television set. We got to, let me not buy the other three. Let me take this money and go next door and put this girl through a training course to get her license and maybe help her buy a car. Maybe I can do that. We don't think like that. The wealth is out of order if you're not using it to bless God's people, all right? And you got these other people, they give the charity, they give the stuff, but it's not for the glorification of Christ. It's for the save on a tax income. You're giving it for a tax shelter. And also you're giving it just to show folks, I did it. I gave it to you. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be there. I see preachers do this too. They'll give something to somebody, and then they'll go back and tell the folks, if it wasn't for me, they wouldn't be there because I gave it to them. I said, oh, God, you just killed your reward. You just killed it. If you do something just for the hand clap alone, and you do it just to tell others, I did it, and without me, they wouldn't be there, if that's your communication, if that's what you tell people, you kill your reward. You know, I tell people all the time, and let me just say this. It's too fierce. I got 5 minutes left with www.mybroadcastdv.com. I've learned that a lot of times, if you do something for the kingdom and then you brag about it and you put it on public display, that's why you did it, and you showed off that that's the only reason, that that was your reward. And what God had intended for you, you killed it. And sometimes when God tells you to do something for someone, it might be your enemy, and you tell someone you did it for them, and you did it only for the reason of showing off, then God said that was your reward. But if you did it in the spirit, even if the temple collapses, God will still reward you out in the opening, because the focus is not the physical temple. The focus is the spiritual temple. It's the attributes and the things you don't see with the human eye. Now, I'm teaching these things because I want people to have a proper perspective of wealth and how that the acclimation of goods and services and stuff you have could be put to better use if you really thought through the mind of love. So I thought about this, right? This is very key. Now, people are mad at Jay-Z now, right? Because Jay-Z sat down with the NBA, the NFL leader, and created a program so he could help solve the ills of some of the racist ways. And everybody's mad because they're trying to figure out, did Jay-Z talk to Colin Kaepernick? All right. And he said he did. You don't know the conversation, and I'm not going to share that with you. And then Jay-Z said something that sounded strange. He said, we're far past just bowing knees. And which was really what sandwich, I think he should explain that. He should say, I want to do something better than that. Colin started it off, but I want to join forces so we can figure out ways to empower some of these issues that are facing us in America. And I think the NFL Football League can bring some attention to it. Maybe we got to create more programs that deal with some of the racist ways in our country, and let's find out ways to do it. So Jay-Z is bringing wealth to the table. But I thought about this. Jay-Z and Beyonce are worth $1 billion. Michael Jordan is worth over $1 billion. Magic Johnson is worth over $1 billion. And all of them know each other. Now, I'm only assuming this because a lot of times black folks work together and don't tell you anything. But wouldn't it be nice if all three of them joined forces together and created their own movie company, or all three of them came together and did something and created their own league, pool resort, and built your own company? That's what I love about my boy with the eyebrows. What's his name? The guy that created the 3-on-3 basketball league. I love stuff like Ice Cube. I love he uses his wealth and prosperity to create some type of business deal to create more wealth and income. And preferably, it's the type of giver that gives out. It's not always be these people that got all this money and stuff and it's sucked in just to you and yourself. True giving is to go out outside your circle and give to others where you don't even see any way of it helping you immediately. To give to someone you know they can't give back to you. To give to someone you know you never get the money back from them is a true giver. That's a true giver. That if you only give to someone and you know they don't get back to you later, that's a loan. It's not giving. When you help someone and you know you'll never give it back from them, that's what God says, oh, you understand how the game is played. In the 21st chapter of Luke, which is such a powerful scripture, after Christ talks about this woman with the two mites, gave more to all you billionaires, and then he starts talking about that the temple will be torn down. Now, my thing is, Jesus, if I was in class, I was going to ask you a question. Why would you first say that this woman gave more than you all, and then get down the next verse and say, the temple won't be here much longer anyway? I said, really, Christ? You really got to say that? Because keep in mind, he's in the temple, and these are the days leading up to his crucifixion, and he's teaching and talking to the people who actually play a role in his crucifixion. And so you guys are so big about you give money to the temple. He said, oh, by the way, all the stuff y'all giving to, it won't be here within 40 years. It's going to be leveled down to the ground. So he's saying, because your investment is going to collapse. Where you put your dollars at and your ducats at, yeah, that investment is going to collapse. It ain't going to be here. It would be better if you embrace me and follow my ministry and support those who are poor in spirit and give heed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the point he's making. So I gave you this today because I wanted to show you more and more about the power of wealth. This is the BA level. This is, of course, week 77, lesson 12, of course, wealth, the 21st century weapon that's most important. Now, let me make a couple of announcements. Tomorrow, I'll be at 62 Park Avenue at Pastor Terrence Crompton's church. I'll be ministering at 10:30. We'll be talking about this fly that just came in this area that is eating up the trees and the crops and stuff. It is an invasive species that is near here. I'll tell you about it tomorrow. And I'm preaching at 10:30 about the removal of something so that something else can stand and how God takes you through a season of removing things so that only that remains is the kingdom or the right tree called the tree of life. I show you that sometimes removal is good because you want to get rid of infestation. You don't want something to get in and you continue to eat off of it and it eats away at you. So I'm going to show you that tomorrow at 62 Park Avenue, Park Place, right down street from Eastside High School, Newburgh Baptist Church, Pastor Terrence Compton, Assistant Pastor Reverend George Riley, my Son of the God Church. I ask you to come out and bring your sick. I'm going to be laying hands on people to remove cancer, sickness, and disease tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. I got to go. Thank you for listening to www.mybroadcast.com. See you next Saturday. God bless you.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness, a premier sponsor of the BlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue. Featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit thebluemagazine.com. That's www.thebluemagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED identifier, Body Beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about Body Beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DDVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com.